Yeah, hello everyone. So we wanted to highlight the collaboration between ONAP, the ORAN Alliance, and the ORAN software community. The collaboration that is, some of it is already happening, and some of the potential, let's say, use cases and work that would be of interest to all the, the mutually beneficial as well to the involved communities, and also maybe look for some feedback and suggestions on how to kind of leverage and make the best use of the work that is happening in these communities. Maybe I will start with giving you some examples of some relevant work that is happening in ONAP that would be of interest for the collaboration perspective. Then John will also continue to talk about a few use cases and as well some of the collaboration opportunities that kind of really make sense from both ONAP as well as the ORAN and OAC perspective. And then finally, Martin will touch upon some of the practical and, let's say, operational difficulties that we have and maybe for which solutions are being found out. But I would say that we are not there fully yet. So maybe with that, and definitely, I hope we have some time for getting some feedback and suggestions from all of you in terms of how to take it forward in a better way. So maybe with that, I'll just quickly start off with some examples of where we see some potential work that is happening in ONAP that is of relevance also to the OSC community. So one is the SON use case, which is basically built on the control loop framework in ONAP. I'll not get into what has already been implemented. So we have like a couple of use cases already implemented, which is the PCI optimization and the centralized ANR use case that has been implemented. But the whole idea here is that if we look at ONAP as a non-real-time rig, right, then we could look at collaboration with the OSC where we could have the near-real-time rig maybe doing some of the, or let's say part of the control loop actions, whether it is for SON or the more broader control loop framework related things. So that is something that we can look at for a possible kind of collaboration where we could do some joint work. Maybe, for example, one example could be that the non-real-time rig does some coarse-grained, let's say, decision-making on a longer time scale, while the near-real-time rig kind of makes a fine-grained decision-making on shorter time scales. Maybe I'll come to that in another context, in the context of network slicing use case as well. But this is just one possible scenario which could be of interest to both the communities. So this is what I was telling. I will not, overwhelm you with the details of all the flow steps that are happening. If you're interested, maybe you can reach out to us offline. We'll be happy to share some recordings as well as some information. But if you look at the control loop framework, like we have the simulated, we have a RAN simulator, which kind of simulates the radio network with the DUs. The near real-time rig is not really part of this particular scenario, but the DUs are, and of course, the cells that are associated with the DUs. And the control loop framework is executed in ONAP with the help of DCAE, which triggers the optimization framework based on the FMPM and also recently the CM data that is coming from the RAN. So if we want to align, and the goal there for this one use case is to kind of align always with the O1 interface going forward, with the ORAN interfaces going forward. So I think in that context, it makes a lot of sense that if we can do some joint work, or it can be mutually beneficial to the OSC folks as well as to the ONAP folks. Then if you look at the same thought further, right? So in this network slicing use case, we have realized in the Gwilion release a very simple closed loop functionality for the radio network, wherein we look at the downlink and uplink PRB used for data traffic over a performance interval. And then based on that, we provide back the specific, the slice specific throughput guidance at near real-time rig coverage area level. Though the work in Gwilion is sending it over O1, the output from the SDNR is going over O1 to the near real-time rig, the work in Honolulu is going to make it to be sent over A1, which is actually the correct way from a long-term perspective. But if you look at this a little bit closely, right, now we are only sending the output at a near real-time RIC level. Now the near real-time RIC level could further break it down into maybe individual cell level or, I mean, cells for each slice, right? So that could be one additional or one follow-on action which a near real-time RIC could take. And then we could like have a very more complete closed loop, I would say, from an end-to-end perspective. So this is one example where we could kind of work together. And another thing, which is also a little bit of an extension of what I showed in the previous slide, is the same control loop, but looking at a different set of performance data from the RAN. And additionally, if you see on the left side, right, there is a machine learning microservice, which is nothing but a machine learning model that has been trained offline, that is outside of ONAP, and then onboarded onto DCIE. And this will then give its recommendations on the reconfigurations to be done in the radio network. So this is another example where we could leverage this whole control loop framework, where maybe like the higher level actions could be determined at the ONAP level, while some delegation could be done to the near real-time RIC, which can take the fine-grained decisions. So these are just to give you some examples. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list. This we thought we'd just give you some practical examples of what has already happened or is happening from an ONAP perspective that could be of interest or let's say the subjects of collaboration, at least to kickstart the whole process forward. Maybe John, you want to take over a couple of examples from the A1.
Yeah, sure. I just want to give a concrete example of some work where we've been working jointly across OSC and in ONAP. A couple of years ago, when the ORAN Alliance defined a new interface, the A1 interface as a function that exists between the non-RT RIC and RAN functions, we found that there was a need to develop a function both in ONAP and in OSC. For a short period, it turned out to be competing work essentially across the two platforms, both of which were working on an A1 adapter plugin for SDNC. Just as a quick tangent, as part of the initial implementation or embodiment, I suppose, of a service management and orchestration layer in OSC, we took some functions from ONAP as a seed implementation. So, for instance, we were using SDNC as a CM controller and partly to drive the development as well of some O1 models. We were using VES as the event format. So we were using the ONAP VES collector. Martin will go into these in more detail. But particularly, we were for the A1 adapter, we were developing an SDNC plugin. So in ONAP Guilin, then we decided to merge those two functions and then to further develop the work already started in ONAP and evolve towards a single A1 adapter for A1 policies in ONAP Guilin. As part of that, then we also added from OSC, we had started work on a management service that would sit on top of the SDNC exposed interface. So we also brought that back into ONAP Guilin as well. So now, as part of the Guilin release, we have a converged A1 adapter homed in CCSDK. We have an A1 policy management service also in CCSDK, and both are now deployed as by default in OOM deployment of in ONAP, and also then used directly in the OSC integration environment as well. So it's an example of where we could essentially do the same work across both projects in a nice, clean, integrated manner. For those of you who are interested in the actual A1 interface, we can describe in more detail, and there have been a couple of demos at this and previous events where we describe and demo the A1 policy functions. But the idea basically is that this A1 interface is a REST-based interface for sending a couple of different jobs. One part of it is for sending A1 policies, which are kind of intent level policies sent into the RAN. So we needed a REST-based adapter southbound for SDNC. So of course, there's all of the requirements that go around that it should be secure, that it should be performant, those kind of issues. And then north of that, we needed some kind of controller type function that would keep track of the policies and the types of policies that were in the RAND. So that was implemented using the A1 policy management service. Okay, so if maybe we could go on to the next slide. So as part of our discussions to see where we could push forward with even better alignment across OSC and ONAP, we started to try to discuss, you know, what type of areas could we see examples for where we could get better alignment. So one case that we've been, you know, one area that we've been looking at is to see if we can identify which use cases or applications or, you know, modeling aspects that we might be able to at least align with, if not even possibly common work across OSC. So one area that we see a lot of need in ORAN use cases is the need for AI and ML based closed loop type applications and use cases. And we already see a lot of work happening in ONAP around these areas. So, you know, we thought that there's surely some areas there where we can find some collaboration. So we're trying to continue with discussions in that area. Since the A1 interface is a natively defined as part of ORAN, so if you have A1, you're trying to be ORAN aligned. So we were trying to see how we could find use cases that might make use of the A1 interface. We're seeing that one example might be in the slicing use case, but of course there are different ways that you can do network slicing. You can do it via A1 or O1, and we want to examine a couple of different opportunities there. We also want to ensure that the slicing use case stays aligned with these. There's a parallel slicing use case under development in the ORAN Alliance, so we need to make sure that we're aligning across the standard defined use cases as well. We also see that there are opportunities for several areas around modeling, for example, around modeling applications, control loops, around modeling XNFs, be they CNFs, for example. How do we consider perhaps topology? You know, these kind of things that would be common across the ORAN and ONAP environments. We also see a lot of potential in CPS as it begins to gain traction, particularly in the use case driven approach. But we see that CPS will be particularly important for CM type use cases and maintaining information about what's currently happening in the RAN, which will drive forward use cases in the future as well. Okay, so I know that's a little bit vague right now, but discussions are continuing, and we would like you all, please, to join in to see where we can actually land some of this alignment. Okay, I'll hand over to Martin. He has a couple more slides that he wants to follow on with suggestions around closer alignment as well. Oh, sorry, I think it's Swami jumps in here first.
Swami, this is yours, right?
Yeah, sorry, I was speaking on mute, Martin, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, John. So with respect to the collaboration or the alignment with at least ORAN Alliance, right? So particularly for the RAN slicing and for the SON use cases. So for the RAN slicing, we have been having an active interaction with the ORAN Alliance folks. Like, we have a weekly call on Thursdays, just focusing on the slicing topic. And I would say that we have made quite some progress over the last few months, starting from the Gwilym release onwards. And we hope to continue that as we go forward. That is one aspect. And then recently, the topic of for the SON use case, anyway, the ultimate goal is to always align with the ORAN interfaces, at least for the YANG models and particularly the O1 and the YANG models. But also another topic came up very recently, which is on the fault management in terms of how ORAN is viewing the, for example, reporting of the faults, what type of faults, what are the categorization of faults and so on, right? So though we started off this discussion in the context of the SON use case, I think it will be relevant from a larger ONAP perspective also, as we look at other use cases which are relying on fault notifications coming from the alarms coming from the RAN. So this is another potential area where we need to also closely align with the ORAN as we go forward. Maybe over to you, Martin.
Okay, just and to the previous slides here, there is an OEM project in the Oran software community, and basically, but all the code and all the repositories are already in ONAP. Just the deployment options in order to highlight here the OEM interfaces. Those Helm charts are in the Oran software community. That's an update basically on the OEM project so that it is focusing on the RAN topics only. So that's why I'm not highlighting some interaction here between ONAP and Oran SC, because in that terms, everything is in ONAP and there is a loose alignment process already. And it's basically just a deployment option of, based on OEM. What I would like to highlight is here a little bit, what are the data models which are used and which are specified in the Oran Alliance. So they really specify, or they point to the ONAP best streaming interfaces. And for the configuration, it is NetConfN. All those interfaces are well defined, the best in ONAP, plus standard defined extensions from 3GPP that was implemented, and I think Damien is on the call, by DCAE and others already. There's a new best version 7.2. This is all good, all fine. For the configuration CM, there are two flavors of young models which are used by Oran. One is based on a previous SDO called XRAN, which is now part of Oran. Those are young models are more or less based on IETF interfaces. This is called Open Front Hall Management Plane. The O1 interface, which we heard here a lot, this is targeting the CGPP data models, which are publicly available. I put here the link. And the Oran, they extend those young models for configuration for the Oran specific interfaces. There's an E2 interface, there's the A1 interface, which we just heard, there's the O1 interface. And in order to have FCAPS functionality, support, configuration, performance, security, the Oran Alliance just takes the 3GPP and put the Oran extensions for all the young model that's here in the call. This is the young augment which is used in that case. Next slide, please. So why young? As said, here you have already this augmentation statement inside of the modeling language. And that is the key in order to extend the data model without touching the previous data model. Yeah, so if you remember 20 years ago, so I'm old, you already know it. At this time, everybody took the SNMP MIPS and then modified it. And then we had a lot of inconsistencies, same model names, but different content and so on. This is avoided with Young. The other good thing of Young, it serves a lot of modeling or a lot of protocols, or not a lot, but it serves here NetConf, ResConf, and GNMI. So currently the Oran specification, they target NetConf Young via TLS, but there's already some discussions going into GNMI, GNOI, by some of the working groups. It's not currently aligned, but I see this happening in the near future, that those discussions will pop up. Next slide, please. So as we have strong dependencies here to other SDOs, we have copyright issues using those in open source. There's a clear statement in the Oran in 3GPP, or if you go to the link which I provided, you will see in their GitHub, no license, all rights reserved, right? And nobody knows really what that means, and no legal person can explain this. So basically then it falls back to the Word documents and PDF documents on 3GPP, and there's a copyright statement says, basically, you are not allowed to copy it on all media. Also, this nobody could explain it to me, and you need written permission. And I'm still waiting for this written permission for now 18 months. There are huge debates between ORAN Alliance, ZwiGPP, ORAN Software Community, with all the involved companies. And the funny thing is the involved companies are in all these areas all the same, but they cannot come to an agreement what how to use and how to not, how to really use it in open source, how to update it, how to contribute back, and how to copy those. And if you know, in NetConf Yang, those Yang models are copied already between server and client in those hello messages. So this is still unclear. Also the copyright and license issue, there are still also some issues, not that much, between ORAN and ORAN Software Community, which is ORAN Software Community is a Linux Foundation project. So even on that area, there is some issues. So what happens currently, the communities, the software communities, they implement a lot of workarounds already. And I would like to make you everybody aware that those workarounds are very costly because those needs to be then adapted if it goes to other products or into the real network. So the current workarounds is that new Yang models, which looks very similar to ZwiGPP and other SDOs, are used for demo purposes and are invented kind of. Then the other thing is more or less that those Yang models and all the coding and the applications around, they were completely implemented, but not published in open source repositories. And myself, for example, we have demonstrated ZwiGPP Yang models. All the coding, all everything is up and running, was integration tested and so on, but it did not went into any public repository, which is bad. And after every demo, I go there and make sure that all the code and all the artifacts and deployments are vanished again, so that there is no problem anymore. With this warning, please, everybody should, when implementing and put something into repositories, please look onto the license statement, go to your legal departments and ask for what it means. And the problem is you may not get an answer, but anyhow, I would like to make you aware of that issue. With that, I would conclude my session and would hand over back to Swarni, please.
Yeah, so yeah, thank you, Martin. Yeah, I think you have given a word of caution to everybody. We have the weekly ONAP OSC calls where the OSC, the different projects in OSC give a brief status update, and we also discuss topics around use cases and requirements that are of interest to both the communities. So these calls are on Wednesdays, and you are free to join that. And we also have a wiki page, and also the minutes and the recordings are captured. So we would, like I said at the start of the session, we would request your inputs and feedback, because the intention is, if there is clearly, we see that the level of collaboration can definitely be improved. So if any of you have any suggestions or inputs, you are welcome to reach out to one of us, and we'll also be interacting with our respective requirement subcommittee members, and we'll also take it to the TSC as appropriate with whatever recommendations and updates in terms of maybe like an example of a successful collaboration, or maybe if there are some bottlenecks or if there are some things to be considered, maybe in terms of, I don't know, roadmap or use cases or whatever it might be, right? So that would be definitely very useful for all of us. I think Martin has also put together a set of links, which I think will be very useful for those of you who are trying to find your way. We'll post this slides on the LFN meetings page. So you can access these links for more information.
Yeah, basically what is listed, all the involved parties here, so the code artifacts which are used from ONAP in ORAN SC by the following projects. So these are basically links to their wiki pages, and Swarni Maheshu, who's also on the call, Alex Danko, who's on the call, John, and myself, we try to align them in order to avoid code duplications. And so we all have a very good overview of who's doing what and how to align those things. But here you can then go to the very details. Recently, we also created a Slack channel for these ONAP, ORUN-SC collaborations. You can also reach out and find us under the ONAP Slack.
Yeah.
I think we made it in time.
Yeah. So maybe any questions or any comments or suggestions, anyone?
Yeah, I didn't see any mention of lifecycle management for our apps. And I know in the past, there's been some discussion about maybe using DCAE mod for that. So any updates on what are the current thoughts in the ORUN-SC community about it?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I can jump in there if possible. In the ONAP community, of course, we first of all, in the ORUN Alliance, you know, the concept of ORAP, R1 app packaging isn't really defined yet. It's still only at the discussion stage. So anything we would do would really only be at a prototyping and experiment stage. However, the work around trying to, in OSC, the work around trying to define, you know, exactly what is an app, how would it be packaged, how would it be lifecycle managed, we would be moving on with those activities in the coming releases. And Mahesh here is on the line as well. He's driving the SMO project. I don't want to speak for him if you want to jump in, Mahesh, but yeah, he's been driving through some work in the ORUN Alliance, for instance, around app packaging in particular that we would be aligning with. Okay. Mahesh, have you anything you want to add?
No, not. I think you pretty much covered it. So yes, as far as the lifecycle management, that's still under discussion. And I think once we have some visibility on how it's going to get defined, we'll start the implementation for it in the SMO project.
Okay, thanks.
I think, we've run out of time. Yeah, thank you everyone once again. So if you have any further inputs or suggestions, do let us know. And you're welcome to join the meetings on Wednesdays.